I'm talking to Senator Linda Lopez. Welcome to Women's Focus. Welcome back.
No, thank you, Susan, always for the opportunity to be on Women's Focus. And, you know, I listen and I always appreciate the guests that you have on that are very sometimes eye-opening discussions and some great information. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. How long have you been in the Senate?
I've been in New Mexico.
How long have you been a senator?
This is my 24th year in the legislature. I've been in the legislature for a few terms.
And this year we have a lot of people who left, and there will be a lot of new faces in the Senate. I was wondering if you remember such a big change in the past, or is this the biggest change we've had in the Senate?
There was another change where we had a group of new senators come in, and that was during my second term, the beginning of my second term, when we had another big class that came in to join us. But it's this time around, it's a very different flavor. And in meaning, so we actually have more women that are joining us, and much more diversity within the group.
Okay. And what do you think, what are you expecting, to happen?
What I am expecting to happen is that the members who will be joining us will, of course, bring, as always, you know, their lifestyle experiences, but I believe it's a fresh voice with a new direction, especially in, you know, for the Senate. On my side of the aisle, it's more progressive. And when I say progressive, it's much more in tune, I believe, with what our communities want to happen. There's more support, of course, and we will see the vote when we talk about women's reproductive health. Very much looking forward to that House Bill 51 that we had debated. And that was such a hurtful vote that happened on the Senate floor, and I was the Senate sponsor. And it was... you know, the bill died in our chamber. But I believe that it will pass this time and we'll get it up to the governor for her signature. So for me, that's one area that is so important. And then, of course, we have other issues coming to the forefront about racism, issues around training for police, you know, looking at more diversity issues when we talk about education. And, of course, you know, looking at the environment and what we're doing to protect that. And I know the votes will change as we begin to work on those bills this coming legislative session.
You said that you think things will come up about racism?
I believe.
You said?
Yes, ma'am. There's the a bill I've carried several years is dealing with anti-institutionalized racism. Mm. And I know that bill will come forward. It will be passed and voted on. I'm very confident. And sent up to the governor.
Okay.
But I also, you know, but in addition to that, Susan, I also sit, I was appointed to sit on the governor's Racial Justice Advisory Council. So we have several measures that we'll be talking about to recommend for the governor to support for this upcoming legislative session. So there will be several measures that are being brought forward that support diversity within our communities. And, of course, it deals with making representation be present, but also dealing with racial justice issues that have surfaced across our country but that do exist in our state, too, where we need to address those.
And what sort of bill are you expecting, or what sort of effort are you expecting? What can the state do?
And do you mean like from the council itself or from?
Well, to deal with racial injustice. What do you think might come into a bill?
Well, to start with one, and again, this is the bill that, you know, we've grappled with in the legislature, and it is the anti-institutionalized racism bill. And that is looking for what we do as a state to hire emphasis, but also looking to have anti-racism training throughout our state government. and also for those who contract with the state government. So that would mean anyone who receives funding. So that does affect our public schools. It affects our higher ed institutions and a lot of nonprofits and others who receive funding from our state dollars to make sure that they, too, are beginning to revamp and look as to what they do within their own system with regards to racial justice and, you know, begin that conversation.
I know that we've talked about that for gender equality, and mm-hmm. there's been some effort made towards working with contractors, but I don't think that very much has been done. So it would be nice if gender equality was slipped in there also.
Yes, and that's included. I don't have the bill in front of me right now, and I apologize, but you know, the issues with regards to pay equity, we're still a long ways from coming, even at the state level, to making sure that we have pay equity in all of our state departments, the departments in the state, but also looking and encouraging, now this is asking for our local entities who also receive state funding to look internally and see what we're doing with regards to that. So, no, it covers not just race, but it does cover issues about gender equity, too.
Oh, great. What other issues are you going to be working on? I know that you participate in a lot of the interim committees and are thinking about issues during the interim. So what else will be in your mind?
The 60-day session, of course, as we all know, it's open. So there's a lot of measures that many of us introduce because that happens every other year during the odd years. And some of the bills that I introduce even during the special session, I will still reintroduce again, even though they didn't get a hearing because we were so busy during that 30-day. One of them centers around issues with our disability community, you know, for restraints of what we do for our people, our young people, especially in our schools, how our schools respond to a student if there's an issue. So it's seclusion and restraints. We're going to bring that measure up. I've been working with the Attorney General, Valderas, on this one. So we'll bring that up for consideration.
So working that means how a student is disciplined?
Yes, ma'am. It deals with discipline.
Okay.
And or if there's a student who may have a behavioral issue in class, how the school reacts and what the school does to deal with that particular issue. So this gives specific direction as to what can happen and what not to do. And a part of this was with regards to an issue that happened up in Farmington last year with a young student. And I think it was a middle school student who had some issues, and the way that the school resource officer and or the sheriff's department responded to her was not good. And so we're trying to address, and that's just not one school district, but there are many across our state that react in an inappropriate way of how to deal with students who may be having other issues at home or a mental health issue, behavioral health, whatever is the terminology used, how do we deal with them? You know, some students are placed in a seclusion room. That's not appropriate either. So there's I know much more discussion to come up, but several years ago, Susan, we did change what we do with regards to restraints and seclusion, but this we left, and I think in the process of negotiating, we left some of these areas silent, and this is an opportunity for us to strengthen them.
Oh.
So that'll be brought back, and so that's one of the measures. Another measure, I am working with the ACLU on excessive use of force with regards to, you know, our police departments. And I don't have terminology. You know, we're still working on a draft on that, but I will be bringing that one forward. Of course, the issue on women's reproductive rights, the antiquated abortion law, I will be sponsoring that one again to bring it forward. And the anti-institutionalized racism bill, I will be bringing that one forward also.
you talked about the restraint bill, and then you were going on from there.
Okay. See, I mentioned the Women's Reproductive Health Bill, so that's the antiquated abortion bill, so I mentioned that one.
Yeah, and then
the
anti-institutionalized.
Yeah, and then I am working with the ACLU on an excessive use of force bill also. I don't have any hard language on it yet, but it's in the process of being drafted. I will also be introducing a bill dealing with the anti-institutionalized racism and how we began that process of dismantling it. I will also be introducing a bill on ethnic studies, and it'll be K-20, and how the diversity of that within our educational system truly helps our young children. And it's not just targeted towards children of color, but this is system-wide. And I will also be introducing another measure, putting together a task force committee to review the Children's Code.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes, ma'am. That's needed.
Ooh. Wow, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. What I'm envisioning is that'll be a two-year work that the task force will have to undertake. But we so need it in so many venues to update, change, remove, add what needs to be done, because we have piecemealed it for so many years, and it needs to be done.
And is Dave Schmidt working with you on that?
We will be. And I know that I introduced a measure a couple of years ago when Governor Lujan Grisham first came in, so I did catch the attention of Dave Schmidt and others, as well as, of course, for the executive. So we've been chatting, and here we are at another 60-day session, so I will introduce it again and get it passed and then get this process started this coming summer of 2021.
Okay. Well, that is a good thing to do, I think. And then you mentioned to me a bill that you were thinking about that would be like the Education Works bill.
Yes. And
are you
I
still
will be
thinking
introducing, yes, ma'am. I will be introducing a measure that resembles the Education Works bill that, of course, I worked with you. You were gracious to bring it forward so that we could work on it. And essentially, this would be another type of cash assistance for our families here in the state of New Mexico. Currently, what is going on with the feds, if you apply for cash assistance, through TANF, or just looking for some monies that may be made available to help our families, especially now through COVID, many of our families cannot access the money. First and foremost, if you're in a mixed status, immigration status family, you have nothing. Even for the stimulus bills that were, the checks that were voted on through the CARES Act, by the feds, many of our families couldn't access. So this is another opportunity, kind of basically using the same framework as the Education Works program, to allow our families to apply for and receive some assistance to help them make ends meet. And what I'm also hoping, Susan, is that not just for those families, but maybe for those grandparents raising grandchildren who need some cash assistance at this point to help ends meet, too.
I know that you have people who've been approaching you in the past wanting to work on that.
Mm-hmm. And we thought we had done something with the Children, Youth, and Families Department this past legislative session in the regular session in the spring. But there are some roadblocks that come up that I think will hinder some of our grandparents or aunties or uncles or whomever is watching the children from actually coming forward to apply for the money. There's some intricacies that the federal government put in place, and we're working on that, but I want to make sure that there's an opportunity for families if they don't want to do what we call a voluntary place agreement with Children, Youth, and Families Department, that doesn't hinder them from getting at least some sort of cash assistance. So I'm trying to figure out a way as to how we can do this. So I'm in conversation with the executives, so that's CYFD and HSD, to see how we can do this.
But this is a time when money's going to be really tight. So what do you foresee as far as that's concerned?
What I envision, you know, we're coming into a new Senate with our new members. We will have a new chairperson of Senate Finance Committee and others in that committee and others that I believe that we can begin to look as to how we can help our families, especially in this time of COVID. And with the governor's, of course, shutdown for this next 2 weeks of the state, I just know that there's going to be even more families, I think, that are going to be on that verge, on that cliff. And we don't know, based on the numbers for COVID, how far this closure may have to last. So if we can look at the budget and figure out and find out, starting a pilot program someplace where we know that the money's at this point, I mean, there's ways for us to look at where the applications are coming from and maybe to target those particular areas, I think we can start it. Monies can be moved around, Susan. I've learned over the years that just because money's sitting there in the budget right now, there's ways we can move some of those dollars around. I firmly believe that. And with our new direction in the Senate, I believe we will do this.
Wow. Well, that brings me to another question. You've talked about wanting to go into Senate leadership and going for the pro tem.
Yeah.
So my question is about the pro tem job.
Yes, ma'am.
But it would be too bad to lose you in rules.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I do, I've run for a higher leadership position in the Senate over the many years. And I am running for pro tem. And I believe I have a lot to offer the Senate. And, traditionally, what has happened in the past, of course, is that the pro tem's position is one usually given the nod to for those who have served and who have had time in the Senate. So in leadership, for tenure, if you want to call it, in our caucus, I'm third in line. So you have Senator Campos, and then Senator Nancy Rodriguez, and then myself.
Okay.
The three of us have served. So I'm kind of on the upper end on that level. But I've also been the longest serving chair in the legislature during my tenure as chair of Rules Committee. I believe I'm pragmatic in how I run a committee. My organizational skills, I think, are pretty darn good. I'm level-headed. I can deal with my colleagues, if there's an uproar, I'm firm, but I'm fair. And I believe that's what we need in a pro tem. It's just all part and parcel of it. I want to make sure that the Senate stays a Senate and that we run appropriately. But also, too, the pro tem makes the assignments to committee membership. The pro tem also works with the other side of the aisle, our Republican counterparts, working with them to see who they want to represent them on committees. But again, the pro tem, as part of the majority party, we make sure that whoever is assigned to committees will be there to appropriately support given bills too. So that's just part of the mix that happens. And I have the experience and I know I can do this.
And is there a lot of arm twisting going on?
There might be. It just, when you're each of us as candidates will be making phone calls and try to chat with our colleagues on our side of the aisle, of course, in the Democrat caucus. We try and share with what our goals are, what our vision is and how we are going to maybe restructure, the committee structure and answer any questions. So at this point, where I've been making phone calls, I've been able to contact almost everybody. Our elections will be on the 21st,
mm-hmm.
and still to be seen.
And then, of course, it has to go to the full Senate. You have
right.
to have the Republicans too.
Yes, the pro tem is not just voted on and by the majority party, which is the Democrats. we still, the whoever is chosen next Saturday will be the Democratic nominee to be the pro tem. And then on opening day is when the Republicans will nominate their person, whoever they would like to be there, and then we go to a vote on the floor of the Senate.
Yeah.
So essentially the pro tem is representing, of course, the whole Senate. And that's where I say I bring that with me, where I can work with both sides of the aisle and making sure that we stay true to the Senate and we operate with respect, order, and take care of the business of the state.
So how are you feeling about it?
I'm still positive on it. You know, from my first round of phone calls and conversations, it's all been positive.
Okay.
And I know that my competitors are also making calls, but we'll be making second round calls, I'm sure, this week, just to, you know, try and see if we can get a little more solid answer from our colleagues on yes or no.
Well, I think the meeting will be going on when we air this conversation, so we'll just have to say good luck.
Thank you. And, you know, and if I'm not honored to be in that position, you know, of course, I will petition to stay as chair of Rules Committee and hopefully continue my work. So either way, I'll still be, as I would say, you know, getting into some good trouble.
Great.
There's always an opportunity. You know, there's always an opportunity. So.
Well, thank you for sharing with us.
As our former First Lady said, it is what it is.
Okay. Well, thanks for the information, and we'll look forward to hearing about the bill.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, and I'd love to share more as we get a little closer with some more definitive language, too.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. Let's do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.